Amen, guys. Go ahead and grab a seat. My name is Derek, and I get the privilege to serve as one of the pastors here at this church. And it really is a privilege and an honor that you would come be here today. And a lot of our college students are still gone. People still traveling a little bit over the holidays. Some of our college students are here. She gave me a mean look. So some people are here. We're so glad for those of you that are here to gather together like this and to worship King Jesus. I haven't seen you guys since last year. Oh, yeah, I know, it's a bad joke. You knew it was going to come today. You knew it was going to come. But today's a special day. It's going to look a little different. So if you are a first-time guest, this is a little different the way from here on out the rest of our gathering is going to kind of flow. It's a little different than what usually happens. Usually at this point, I'll talk for like 3 hours in the Bible. So I'm going to talk for little portions of time. But this morning, we are just setting this aside to kind of kick off the new year. On our knees, and to do so, just calling out to the Lord in prayer. So I'm really hopeful, church, of what God might do in this church and through this church and in our city in 2015. We're headstrong into year number two for us to be at this location here in the heart of this city. So Tri-Cities believes in multiplying so that more people will know Jesus. And so that's why we are in this room. And so we're begging God to do things in 2015 that we look back on this time next year and say, man, that was of the Lord. That was not something that we orchestrated. That was not something that we had on the whiteboard scribbled out. That was a move of God as the Spirit of God came and did a work as we humbly surrendered ourselves and said, Lord, whatever you want for our life, we're willing to say yes before we even know what the question is. Our answer is yes. I'm praying for that in 2015. And so as a challenge, I guess, this is going to be a really kind of just a fireside chat with Derek kind of day. As a challenge for you, if you've not already done so, we had off this week, so thank you for allowing your pastors to kind of have some rest this last week. And I was able to go away to Asheville for a day, because that's where cool people go for a day, right? And just to be alone, well, alone with other people, but to be alone and just dream for 2015. And so spend some time in the Word, and to spend some time just writing out some of my prayers for 2015, trying to get my stuff in order, to really go before the Lord and say, God, what do you want from me in 2015? And if I have to rearrange my schedule to get at the things that you're calling me to do, I'll do it. And so don't let this year pass you by. I know this year's a new year, kind of as a new beginnings, and there's nothing magical about a calendar date. So there's nothing magical about a new year, but there is something about like the new beginnings of another year, another time to look back on what God did in 2014, some of the things maybe we dropped the ball on, some things that we're looking ahead forward to. So if you've not done that, I want to ask you to do it. Find, if you can't get away for a day, get away for an hour, and just go before the Lord. Because I want to share with you a quote that I ran across this week. It's been really convicting to me, and I want to share it with you this morning. Nothing is less productive than to make more efficient what should not be done at all. Let me read it to you again. Nothing is less productive than to make more efficient what should not be done at all. And so as I was trying to plan for my year, maybe you're making New Year's resolutions, maybe you haven't because you say, I'm not going to even make them because I never keep them. What we're not saying is try to be a better person and try harder. What we're saying is we want to go before the Lord and say, God, I do not want to be more disciplined and more efficient at things that just don't matter. So change my perspective to see what really matters. Like, speak to me. If that means you change your entire direction of what you think 2015 is going to look like, maybe that's what we need to do. And so for us here at this church, we say all the time that we are a redeemed community of Jesus followers on mission together. And so we're going to continue on. We're going to spend the day in prayer, but I wanted to kind of remind us of that vision before we continue to worship God with our tithes and offerings, okay? And what that means, when we say that, so don't let that just be a tagline that you see on our website. If you're a guest with us, we say that a lot. That's our identity. Why do we say it? And here's why. We are a redeemed community. What does that mean? We are a redeemed people, not a perfect people. people. So if you come here today and say, I don't have it all figured out, 2015, I almost don't want to make resolutions because I may get to February and I've already broken them. I just am a mess in my life. And that's not even counting really my walk with Jesus. I struggle and my life's messy. That's where we all are. And so we don't come here thinking that we have it all together, and the church is not a bunch of good people. We are imperfect people, desperate for the Spirit of God to come and do His work, and we're saying we are a redeemed people, not a perfect people. So the hope of 2015 for all of us, Jesus. Jesus has done for you what you could never do for yourself. So don't let this year be about what you're going to do for Him. But instead, dwell, focus your gaze on what's already been done for you. That is good news. And He's redeemed us. So we're redeemed people, not a perfect people. But then we're a redeemed community. So can I just say this? You are not alone. The enemy wants to tell you that you're alone. You're not alone. That's what the church is. And I'm begging God to continue to do this work in our faith family, to unite us together. We say, so many of us, we're from different areas of the world, literally. We're from all different walks of life, different backgrounds, different preferences, but what unites us is Jesus. We have one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. We are a family, and I'm praying that is a reality whether we experience it or not, because what Christ has done. But what I'm praying for you, what I'm praying for me, is that you would experience it. That you begin to experience family the way that God's designed it to be. That's my prayer in 2015. So we're a redeemed community of Jesus followers on mission together. So what does it mean for us to live out what Christ has called us to? How are we faithful to the Great Commission? How are you going to advance the Great Commission in your area? I'm praying that God would give us just bold, clear clarity on that. A redeemed community of Jesus followers on mission together. So in 2015, no matter what you do, no matter what your job is, no matter what your calling in life is, no matter what joys come your way, and no matter even if the bottom falls out from everything this year and you go through suffering like you've never known before, there's something true, and that Jesus is better. And intimacy with Him is the most important thing in your life. And for all of my church folks, you're going, yeah, I know. But what I'm praying for today is why it's kind of more of a stripped back, kind of family little gathering, is that He would make these things just real. Because very few of us in this room do not know. You know everything I just said. None of it's new to you. But let me just ask you, how is it going? You know intimacy with Jesus is the most important thing in your life. And if you don't know that, let me just say, as Christians, that's what we believe. Your relationship with Christ, the vitality of life in Him, being in Him, grafted into Him. Because Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. So it's the most important thing in your life. So whatever 2015 is for you, it better be that. It better be sitting at the feet of Jesus, enjoying Him. It better be that. And so I'm praying. So we want to start the year saying, God, don't let us get in the rat race of every year just trying to figure it out and trying to just go and just go strong before we're with you. So that's what we're praying. So in 2015, coming up, not next Sunday, but the next after that, whatever day that is, I don't know, we're going to start a sermon series we're calling The Story, all right? And so we're calling it The Story because it's about the story of God. And so throughout 2015, we as a faith family across both campuses are going to walk through the Bible from cover to cover. And so the tagline that we're saying in the story is knowing God, because that's the goal, right? Intimacy with Jesus. Not information, but transformation. To know Him from Eden to eternity. That's the story of the Bible. And so we're going to, as best we can, preach through the entire Bible in 2015. I'm excited to do that. Along with that, so beginning next Sunday, so if you haven't started a Bible reading plan, even if you have, I'm going to ask you to not do it and do ours. Next Sunday, the 12th, begins a Bible reading plan that we've created that goes chronologically through the Bible. So all of us as a church reading the same thing in our time with Jesus is broken down by day. And so you will be reading in God's Word next week. in Genesis. And then that Sunday, I'll come in and preach from what you read the week before. And we'll do that every year. So you'll be reading, taking it into your life groups, interacting together with that, wrestling through these things. And then on Sunday, we'll talk about the big themes on Sunday. I'm so excited about it because that is how intimacy with Jesus is possible. It's through his word. He's spoken to us. So I'm excited about 2015. Mark your calendars. Invite people to join in on that. And so that is crucial. And so for today, we also say that we're desperate for the Spirit of God to come through. So today, we've carved out for prayer. We're beginning 2015 on our knees. So what it's going to look like, we're going to take up their offering and continue into worship here right now. But then I'm going to teach a little bit. And then from God's word, here's what he's told us to do. And then we're going to get on our face before the Lord. And we're going to ask him to do these things in us. So it'll be three different segments. So I'll teach, we'll sing a little bit, we'll pray, and we'll just do that throughout the day. So just follow my lead. It might be awkward, and that's okay, all right? Because we're a family, right? And so if you're a guest with us, you say, man, this is just weird, and I don't want to do that. You don't have to pray. You can just sit there quietly in your seat. If you want to pray as a family or pray as roommates or friends or somebody, you want to clump up in groups of three, that's fine. If you want to pray by yourself, that's fine. If you want to pray quietly or out loud, that's fine. But here's what I know. We've done this in the past here at this church. What I don't want this to be is just, okay, he's praying. I'm going to wait for Derek to come up and pray. Like, no, still our hearts before God. And maybe for many of us, this is just foreign to you because you don't really carve out those spaces in your life. And so we want to come together as a faith family to do that together so that you will go and do that throughout the week, that you get used to sitting quietly before the Lord to hear from him and then ask him for things. So that's what today is going to look like, to ask God's blessing and his favor on 2015, okay? So let's go ahead and bow our heads in prayer, and the ushers are going to come on up, and I'm going to bless our offering, and we're going to take up our offering and continue to worship the Lord. So, Father, we thank you for new beginnings and for fresh starts. And so, Lord, we ask today for a special move of your Spirit. Lord, we invite you here. We're desperate for you. Don't let us just run into this new year and into all of the obstacles and all of the things we're excited about, the things that we're apprehensive about, and not lay them at your feet. So we're here as family to pause and to linger in your presence and to open up your word. So God, we ask that you would speak to us today. And Lord, even now as we continue to worship you through giving of our resources, this is not just something that Christians do. We really believe. This is a down payment of us giving our whole life. We give this money to you that your name would be known among the nations. Lord, we pray that that would be true of this church this year. We take steps in that direction. So Lord, as we take up this offering, we put it here because it's worship. Just as much as the singing of the songs and the raising our hands and opening up the Bible, as we give, we're giving out of an overflow of what you've given to us. We love you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. As the offering plate passes you by, I just want to give you a second just to be quiet before the Lord. Prepare your heart for what the Lord might speak to you this morning. All right. Well, let's go ahead and jump in, all right? So the first segment that we're going to be looking at this morning is we're going to be praying for God to give us a burdened heart and a bold life. All right, we're praying for God to give us a burdened heart and a bold life. So if you were with us in November, we went through a series that we called Go Make Disciples. And in that, we were wrestling through what does it mean for us to be on mission with God? And so what I want to do in this first segment is just to put that back before you. Okay? This is nothing new. As a matter of fact, in 5 minutes, it is that series condensed. But let me just say, the mission of 2015 in your life is already given to you. It's already given. And it's to make disciples. Let's read it again. Matthew 28:18. through 20. Matter of fact, we're a family. It'll be on the screen. Let's read it out loud together, okay? It's a little different this morning. Let's do that. Let's begin in verse 18. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." That is the bullseye right in the middle of 2015 for us. Is to, again, ask yourself the question, what does it mean for you to make disciples who make disciple makers? And so if you're tempted to check out in this moment, let me just beg you to not just know the facts, but really look into your life and say, am I doing this? Are you making disciples who make disciples? Does your heart beat for all the nations, like he says here? Is that what drives you? Is that what is true of your life? And so just some reminders. This command is given to every follower of Christ, not just the professionals. So this is not the goal of the church as an organization. It's the goal of you. It's your calling. So remember we talked about it, to engage the lost, to build relationships with people who are far from God. Are you doing that? And to share the gospel, to speak the good news of the gospel into people's life, and to give generously with your time and your talent and your treasures for the sake of the gospel to be made known among the nations. Are you doing that? How can you do it better? How can you do it more effectively? What's it going to look like for you, and plan your entire life around that? You are not following Jesus if you're not fishing for men. Those two things are not, they cannot be separated. Second, this mission is to be lived out in the everyday rhythms of life. So this is not something you add on to your life. It is your life. So we're not saying just bolt this on to your already busy schedule. What we're saying is change the way you see your schedule. This mission informs the classroom, it informs the home, and it informs the neighborhood and the city and the nations. It informs everything. So see everything through this grid in your life. Next, God's method of reaching people is people. And I think if we went around, if you know Jesus, if you really know Jesus, you would say, I want to see people know Christ. I want to see lives change, but can I just humbly say, you know how God has wired that to happen? Through you speaking the gospel to them. Like, there is no plan B. Like, the church on mission in everyday life is God's plan A, and there is no plan B. Our obedience to this is indicative of our obedience to everything. All right. Turn with me to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. I want to see this laid out, these principles fleshed out. As you're turning there, I want to read Acts chapter 1, verse 14 to you. The words will be on the screen. After the Great Commission was given to the disciples, okay? After the Great Commission was given to the disciples, he says, go to all the nations, what we just read. I want you to see here what their response to that was. It says, all these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer. So the reaction to this mission of God is for us to pray, and to pray desperately. So in Acts chapter 4, where you are, in verses 1 through 3, the words will be on the screen. It says, as they were speaking to the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed, because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead, and they arrested them. Skip down to verse 4. And many of those who had heard the word believed. So two things. They were engaging the lost. You see that? They were engaging and they were sharing. They were speaking the good news. They were dealing with the people in that city. But so as people were being dealt with, as they lived their life in this city, notice verse 4, it says, and some believed. We're praying that in 2015, that God would use the way we're engaging the lost around us, that we would see them, that we would engage them. And as we do, that people would believe the gospel and be saved. But I want us, that's not the only thing that happened. Number two is they faced opposition. And so this first segment is we want to say, we want to be faithful. We want burdened hearts and we want bold lives. God, give us a burden for the people around us to see people the way God sees them. But then we want to pray for boldness to engage them and to get messy with them and to hang around people that we may not get anything in return from. We want to live in such a way in our schools and in our workplaces and with our families and in our neighborhoods that stick out. And to the point where some we trust and we pray will be saved. But get this, when we live that way, we will face opposition. Jesus says, if you live godly, you will suffer persecution. Like, it will come. It's inevitable. And we've got brothers and sisters around the world who are being slaughtered right now for what they believe in. It may come here, but let's be honest, even in this context right now, we're not really at risk of persecution. Just resistance, perhaps. Opposition, perhaps. It'll cost us something, but are you willing to pay the cost in 2015? Let's read verse 12, verse 13. It says, and notice what they told them. They shared the gospel. They were bold with the gospel. It says, there's salvation in no one else. It's very countercultural in our day. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished. Notice, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. Boldly speaking. They didn't hide. So church, get this. May we find this balance in 2015. Don't be that person who just speaks boldly, but you're not loving people. Engage well. Build friendships. Get around people for the sake of them knowing Jesus. But let's not get on the other side of that spectrum and say, just because I'm around lost people all day, and just because they like me, does not mean you're on mission. You must speak the gospel to them. And we fall under one or two of those extremes. Either we are bold with the gospel, we just don't love people, or we love people, but we never get to Jesus and calling them to respond by repentance and faith. May we find that balance. They did. And notice, this kind of life is only possible after having been with Jesus. They noticed, they looked at them and said, they're normal, everyday people like me, but there's something different about them because they have been with Jesus. You encounter the presence of Jesus and everything changes. Read verse 18 with me. It says, so they called them and they charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. Notice, for we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. I pray, and this is what we're going to pray today, I pray that we become so captivated by the beauty of Jesus that even when they look at us and say, stop, like, I don't want to hear it, don't live this way, that we say, if you can throw me in prison, you can kill me, you can push me out of your life, but I cannot help but speak to you what I've experienced. Because Jesus is everything. Have you been captivated by Jesus that way? And how long has it been since you have? When's the last time the gospel made you weep? And if you're not much of a weeper like me, when's the last time it just moved you and affected you? Because until that happens, you're never going to be on a mission like this. And so here's what we're going to pray. So I'll ask you, let's go ahead and enter into a posture of prayer. If you want to get down on the floor, lay down, get on your knees, do whatever it needs for you. But if you want to keep your eyes open, keep your eyes open, whatever it looks like. But let's enter into this posture of prayer. Here's what I want to lead us into praying. When we've seen God's word, we've seen the example. Now here, let's pray. Here's what I want us to pray. These three things. Number one. I want you to pray that we would see with kingdom eyes. So ask God to give you this kind of perspective. Ask Him to break your heart for what breaks His. Don't just try to manufacture it. If you don't feel it, don't try to go out and just do it. Ask Him to give you this kind of burden and heart. Second, pray that we would fall so much in love with Jesus that we can't help but speak. It's almost like, it's not that we're, oh man, I've got to be an evangelist. No, it would be the other end of the spectrum. Like, I can't stop talking about Jesus. Everywhere I go, He's on my lips because He's that good. And I was with Him this morning. I was sitting at His feet and I saw how good He is. And I want you to know how good He is. I don't want you to go through life not knowing how good He is. And so I'm going to tell you about Him today. Like, I hope that's the posture of this church. We're so in love with Jesus. And He's so changing us that we just can't rest because we look around and we see people that don't know Him. And I want you to pray for courage. Pray for boldness, that even if there's resistance, and even if it costs us everything, we will say, no, we will go. I'll do whatever it is. Like, God, give me boldness. I want Acts 4 to be true of my life. And so what we want us to do is just, in this moment, take just a few minutes and pray those things before the Lord. And I'll come back up and close this, and we'll sing a song in a minute. But you pray before God and ask Him for these things. God, open up our eyes. Lord, give us eyes to see You. Give us eyes to see the people around You. Let us lift up our eyes among the harvest fields to see that they're ripe and ready. We're praying for laborers. But Lord, we want to see the people You've placed around us differently. We don't want to just go through our lives and go through our schedules and make money and do the things that we do. We want to see people. Give us eyes to see. Lord, we ask that You would restore to us the joy of Your salvation. God, that You would ignite our hearts to love You, to see You as beautiful, and not to believe the lies that anything else will satisfy, but You, Jesus, and You alone are the greatest treasure of the universe. In You is delight. And I pray that for everybody in this room, that You would unite their hearts to fear Your name and to wake up their souls to the gospel again. And maybe for the first time, Lord, I'm praying, Spirit, would You come even now and break our hearts for the gospel. Move us with what You have done for us. You took our place and You became our death and You became our sin and You've given us Your righteousness as a gift and You are alive today. Lord, give us bold courage in the face of opposition, even if it means our lives being risked for it all. Lord, we want to say that You're better and You're worth it. So Lord, help us to have this posture. We're brokenhearted for the people around us, and we are bold because we cannot help but speak the things we have seen and heard. It's in Jesus' sweet name. Amen. I invite you guys, if you want to continue in prayer, you can. We're going to sing this song. It may be new to some of you. It says, Christ be all around me. Every eye that sees me, that Jesus would be on display. Let's sing this together as a faith family. All right, go ahead, grab a seat, guys. We'll continue on in our prayer time together. Don't freak out. Those won't be that long, okay? That was the longest one, I promise. I pray that that's true, that Christ died, and what the gospel is for every moment of our lives. And so I pray that every eye that sees us is Christ. And the way that we live, and the way that we love, and the way that we speak, it's just Jesus. It's just Jesus. May that be true. Here's the second section that we're going to be looking at together. We're praying for our lives to be leveraged for the glory of God in the lives of others. Praying for our lives, your life, to be leveraged for the glory of God in other people's lives. Let's read together in Acts 13. The words will be on the screen. It says, now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manon, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Notice, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, much like what we're doing here this morning, we're seeking the Lord together, the Holy Spirit said, let that floor you for a second. God, the Spirit, we just sang that song before we began our teaching time of when the Spirit, when He whispers, let us hear it. And God speaks to us ultimately through His Word, but the Holy Spirit wants to interact with you. He wants to give you direction. The Holy Spirit's not an it. It's a person, the third person of the Trinity. So as they were worshiping the Lord and seeking His face, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. All right. Very short interaction here. But here's the challenge. Here's what we want to pray. We see this in the life of the early church in Acts. They were, again, we see them on their knees. That's why we do this morning. But as they were praying, the Spirit gave direction for some of them, for two of them, to leave. They're in one spot doing ministry together, and the Holy Spirit says, no, I want you to go here and do ministry here and do specific things among these people. So here's what I want to ask you. Number one is, do you have any direction in your life? Do you know what the Holy Spirit and what the Spirit is leading you and guiding you in to accomplish this mission? So yeah, it begins with our hearts. We pray for a burdened heart, and we pray for bold lives, but how? How does that flesh itself out? What does that look like for you in 2015? And have you heard from the Lord on that? Because the Spirit leads. And so maybe if you're sitting here saying, I have not heard the Spirit's direction, I don't really know what that looks like in my life, can I just humbly challenge you with something? When is the last time you asked Him? And not just, hey, you know, God, what's your will? Let me just go do it, because you're wanting some sort of stamp of approval on your agenda. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, I don't have an agenda. And God, I'm coming before you for you to lead me, for you to guide me, and for you to direct me. And you speak. And I'm doing it with an open heart and with my face on the ground, pursuing you with His Word open. God's not going to speak something that's contrary to this book. We believe in the Holy Spirit, but you know, these new words and stuff that contrast what this is, you just ate a bad burrito the night before. That's all that is, okay? Like, we believe that the Holy Spirit speaks to you predominantly through this book. Are you in it? Are you just not to find answers, but to find Him? In that intimacy with Him, the Holy Spirit will speak to you, and all of the questions of your life will begin to make sense and be answered, not because God is some magic eight ball that you shake and see what your life's supposed to be about, but as you're with Him and you want Him just to want Him, then He starts to direct you. Then that's when you hear His voice. You don't hear His voice if you're so far away from Him. He whispers. Holy Spirit speaks. So here's what I want us to pray together. I want you to take these cards that are in your life, and so in your seat rather, not in your life. I guess they're in your life. There's two of them. And so what this is, one of them is for you to write names of three people that's in your life who do not know Jesus. We did this back in August. And so let me just say, if you were here and you did that, did you share the gospel with those three people that you wrote names on a card, look just like this? How's that going? Maybe it's the same person that you did back in August, and if you're new and you weren't here for that, maybe it's a different set of people. I don't know. But let me just challenge you to do this. Don't just pick somebody that's safe to say, oh, I'm going to pray for Aunt JoJo who lives in Maine, and I never talked to her. Like, maybe you need to pray for Aunt JoJo, but if you don't have any, like, intention or ability or access to her, don't put her down. Maybe pray for her. But these are for people that you're saying, I want to pray and that I want to speak the gospel to them. You know where this idea came from? Our brothers and sisters around the world, that it cost everything for their life. Like when they are converted to Christianity, they get baptized, it's a death sentence for them. And the pastors in those areas, this is what their church does. There's no programs, there's no anything, because they can't gather. It's an underground church. You know what they do? Somebody meets Jesus, they say, okay, I want you to write everybody down in your life who doesn't know Jesus. And for them, it's almost everyone, because they're in an unreached people group. And then they say, I want you to circle the three people that are who are least likely to kill you if you share the gospel with them. And then go this week and share the gospel. Like, that's what our brothers and sisters around the world, because they get it. Like, this is the mission of God. And so we want to say, Lord, give us names. And let's be honest, we're not with a threat of being murdered. It's maybe an awkward conversation. God help us. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, this might feel weird to you. Like, why are somebody, I'm on someone's hit list? Like, what in the world is this? But we believe this gospel, and we would love to talk to you about why we believe and why we're doing this. We'd love to have that conversation with you. So come up after and we'll talk about why we do this as Christians. So here's what I want you to do. So maybe when the Holy Spirit's speaking, like in this morning, maybe he speaks to you and says, as Paul and Barnabas, to go there and speak to these people. So we're asking for three names in our context. Write them down. And on the other side of the card, write the same names down. You just do first names if you don't want their identity to be left. And leave those in your seat. Because what we're going to do as staff is we're going to put all these on a list and we're going to pray for them. So your pastors on Tuesday morning will get together and we're going to take this list of names and we're going to call them out every week. So on one side of the card, for your keeping, put it in your Bible. The other side, same names. Leave them in your seat and we'll join you in praying for them. Here's the second thing I want you to pray. Ask God to reveal to you any areas in your life that you're resistant to his call. See, Paul and Barnabas, when God spoke, the next verse, they got up and they went. Are you willing to do that? And so we want to say, we want to be obedient where we are. Okay? So start today. Start with the people in your life. But when's the last time? Look up here at me for a second. When's the last time that you, metaphorically speaking, wrote a blank check with your life? You know what I mean by that? To say, you make it out to God and you give it to him. You say, God, it's yours to do whatever you want. I don't know what it's going to cost me yet. I don't know where it's going to go, but I'm willing. We say it like this. Is your yes on the table? See, here's the thing. I think so many times we're just kind of comfortable. And our posture is, God, if you make it abundantly clear for me to go, then I'll go. I think a better prayer would be, God, I'm going to go unless you tell me to stay. Let's be honest. Some people need to be in this city. My wife and I, we've been wrestling through this. I want to go. Can I be very vulnerable? I want to go to an unreached people group or out to a place like Portland, Oregon, where there's no churches. But God has me here because he's told me to stay. And every day I want to get up before the Lord and say, God, are you telling me to go? Because I'll go. But if you want me to be here, I want to be faithful here. And for he's got me here to, I believe, I wasn't going to be this vulnerable, but here we go. I'm just following the Holy Spirit. I believe my calling in my life is to raise up people to get this. I might not go, but I could be more effective to see some of you get it down in your heart. Maybe the Holy Spirit calls you to go to an unreached people group as a church planner. Maybe you're an accountant or you're a designer. I don't know what you are, but can your gifts be used in another context? Because you can get into places in this world that I'll never be able to go as a pastor. You can get in to like the 1040 window that's most unengaged with the gospel. If you lay a map of world poverty over that window, it's virtually the same place. You know what that means? If you have business or if you're a teacher or a life skill, the 1040 window is not a window to you. It's a door. If you have skills to go and just use, you may not be a preacher, but you can go to these contexts to leverage your life for the glory of God. Maybe some of you are called to go, and I think it's more of us than not. I just think it's never on the table for us. So I've got to ask you again, and I'm asking myself, I asked myself this morning this question again, God, do you want me to go or do you want me to stay? But regardless of where I am, I'm going to make disciples who make disciples. Where do you want me to do it? My yes is on the table. And maybe it's just a different area of ministry for you. Maybe God's calling you to love kind of our our housing project here in the city. Maybe God's called you to love single moms. Maybe he's called you to fill in the blank. I don't know what your area of ministry is, but maybe he's been pressing on you to say, this is what I want you to do, and you just haven't been doing it. Maybe you say, I don't even know where to start, but I'm willing. So let's spend some time before the Lord praying for those things. In the quietness of this moment, we're going to pray for that. All right, so bow with me. Let's pray together. Holy Spirit, we're listening to you. I beg of you, give us clarity, give us vision, give us wisdom, give us boldness. Speak to us, God. We're not in some weird, magical way, but as we abide in you, would you direct our steps? And maybe, just maybe, you've placed passions inside of us that we just kind of suppress because we're not walking with you, but maybe 2015 is the year that we finally raise the white flag and say, Lord, I'll go wherever, I'll do whatever, I'm going to step out of my comfort zone, maybe I'm going to leverage my life for your glory in a way that I haven't done in the years past. Lord, this be the year. Lord, would you come, Spirit, and change us? Well, I pray for each and every person in this room that you would let them know what that looks like for them. So whether they go or whether they stay, you have given us purpose. Let us know what that is and help us to follow you with reckless abandonment. Our yes is on the table. Send us. We trust you with the results. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, third, even shorter than that one. Here's the third section we're going to pray for. Praying for God's favor in our work. So what we're going to say is, we're going to work, but Lord, we need your grace. And so here's what we want you to say in Acts chapter 4, verse 3. We just read it. But after that happened, it says, then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. So after the Spirit directed them, you know what the church did? They prayed for that specific area. They prayed for them and sent them to the work that they were to go do. And so here's what I want us to pray. I want us to pray for our city. So for right now, unless God calls you to move and to go, you're here. And so we want to pray for Johnson City. We're going to pray for the people that live here. We're going to pray for our local government. We're going to pray for our businesses. We're going to pray for our universities and our schools and our neighborhoods. And maybe as you pray for your specific area, the places you're in. We want to pray for people to know Jesus. We want to seek the welfare of this city. We want to see it flourish because where we are. I mean, really relevant to us, okay? Let's talk real. If you guys were at our family meeting last month, you heard us make this announcement. But for us at the Johnson City campus, we knew this facility was going to be temporary for us. And God has kind of worked for some various avenues, and the timeline's kind of been pushed up a little sooner than what we thought. And so it's an opportunity for us to trust the Lord. And so we have to be out of this building because they're going to do some construction things for the BCN and all that. We've agreed to be out by the end of March. It's very soon. And there's a couple of months there that we can, maybe into May, that we've got a little bit of a timeline. But here's what we want to pray. Is we want to pray, God, open up doors that we can't shut. And shut doors that we can't open. We're praying for a facility, whether it's another temporary one like the BCM has been for us. We're so thankful to be able to gather here. Maybe it's another temporary facility, or maybe God would provide for us to be able to achieve a more of a semi-permanent facility for us. We don't really know. We're looking and praying and seeking the Lord on that right now, very hard. And so you pray for that because it involves us. And so a building isn't the point, but we have somewhere to gather. And so we're praying for a facility that's in a location where God wants us to be. And then also pray for the finances to make that happen. It's not cheap. So pray for the finances. Maybe you're a part of that. Maybe you want to give generously to see this happen. But it's before us, and it's a big deal. And third, I want you to pray for Josh Carter and Remedy City Church. That's there in Portland, Oregon. We have a team there. We just planted a church. They're on the ground. Got to talk to Josh in person last week. He was in town. Man, God's doing so much. They're building more of a core team from some people there in Portland. The church is already growing. They haven't really gotten started. And so they're going to start meeting in his home this month. So pray for them. We have a couple families from our church that have gone. Maybe some of you will be called to join that church plant in Portland or more in our future as we plant more churches. But pray for Remedy City. Pray for the city of Portland. And then finally, pray for our missionaries around the world. I just want to read this to you. In 2015, we have missionaries full-time from our church. These are not just people we support in general. These are people that we've sent. That maybe some of you will be sent. These are some of them that's already been done that. So the Dominican Republic, Costa Rica, Nicaragua, Uganda, different areas of Uganda, South Africa, Portugal, different areas of Southeast Asia that we can't really even disclose where they are. And then, if you don't know, we have regular teams that go to unreached people groups and equip pastors in that area. I'll be going a couple times in this next year to do some of that. Will went last year to help do some of that. So we're sending, we have mission teams, but a lot of our pastors and leaders in our church are equipping pastors in these unreached places that we can't get into. So you couldn't go move in some of these places, but these guys come to us and we train them and they're sent back out. And so we're all over the world, and I'm praying that list keeps growing, maybe even this year. So we want to pray for those things. Pray for our city, pray for our facility, pray for Portland, and pray for the nations, okay? So bow with me, let's pray to that end.